My name is Mary Crafts, and this is how I live United. I've spent the last 24 years running a local catering company, but I felt a huge part of our community was being underserved. So what I do with United Way here in my town is advocate for kids and families that are invisible. I stand up for them and help them grow strong. I volunteer with a program where we go into people's homes and assess mother and infant well-being and help bring change and opportunity into their lives. As a caterer, I make sure people are happy and well-fed. As a United Way advocate, I make sure people, especially kids, have a chance to thrive and succeed. One of these mothers once said to me, "Mary, you are making a difference, you know." And I thought, wow, that's worth everything. My name is Mary Crafts, and I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Good afternoon and welcome to Impact. Right here on WHFR Dearborn, we are the station making waves. We have a very special group of people that we're going to talk about today, and we're going to speak with the CEO and founder of Wigs for Kids in just a minute. We're going to get started with a little bit of some kid-friendly music, and this is kind of what it's all about.
On planet Earth, our closest star's the sun. The moon is our satellite. The Earth spins round and round and spins around the sun. That's how we get day and night. In the day, the sun shines bright, but it doesn't really leave at night. We just turned and looked the other way. We'll come around again. We go around the sun. We're not the only ones. There are lots of planets above. They're also circling. We're like a family. It's called a solar system. Mercury and Venus, Earth and Mars, Jupiter and Saturn, both very large. Uranus and Neptune, and even little Pluto too. That's from our point of view. Go to the moon. There is a band of lights that goes from left to right. Now listen close what I say. It may look separate, but we're a part of it. We call it the Milky Way. The Milky Way is filled with stars and lots of solar systems, some like ours. So it's not a candy bar, we see. It's called a galaxy.
All right, that's the Galaxy Song by Andy Z. And on air with me, I hope, is Maggie Varney. Maggie, are you there?
I am.
Oh, fantastic. Every now and again, my technology works. This is Impact, and I'm your host, Lynn, and we have a wonderful show for you today. We're going to talk about one of the best projects I've heard about in a long while, and that is the Wigs for Kids project. So, Maggie Varney, founder and CEO, tell us a little bit about how you, what was your inspiration to come up with Wigs for Kids?
Well, Lynn, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to get the word out about this program. I actually was inspired because I have had the honor and privilege of serving adult patients. I volunteer for a program called Look Good, Feel Better to local cancer centers and hospitals, and I teach adult patients how to deal with the appearance-related side effects of treatment. And through that program, I had a young girl who was 16 years old come to me, and in one of my classes, and you're supposed to be 18 to attend the class, I thought she was there to support her mother, but in fact, her mother was there to support her because there was no place where she could go and get help with the issues of, you know, what do you do when you're a child and your hair falls out and you want to just look like other kids and be a kid? And so she came to my class, and that's when I became aware that there was no program for children to help them with, and assist them with this.
Wow. That's an awful lot to take. Okay, I'm getting a little bit of feedback here. That's my problem, not yours. But that's an awful lot of pressure on a child.
It is. And, you know, these kids are going through so much already, and they really just want to be, look and feel like a normal kid. And they don't want to be, you know, ostracized by their friends. And they tend to not want to go to school. They tend to withdraw from society, and it definitely has a psychological and emotional and social effect on them. So through providing them a wig, through our Wigs for Kids program, this allows them to go back and be with their peers and go out and go to the movies and just be a kid.
Right, right. I assume cancer is probably one of the leading causes of the hair loss, the cancer treatment. What are other ways that children are losing hair that they need this service?
You are right. 65% of our children do have cancer, and that's originally why I started this program. And after it was up and going, you know, we started getting phone calls from children who were burn survivors and children who had trichotillomania, the obsessive compulsive disorder where they pull their hair out, and also children with blood disorders and different diseases that cause hair loss. I'm in the business and wasn't even aware that there were so many reasons why kids lose their hair.
Mm-hmm. Wow. One of the things I found so helpful about learning about your organization is your website. It is very thorough. It's a wonderful place to go for information about this. You want to give us that web address?
Yes, it's www.wigs. WIGS with the number 4, kids, KIDS.org.
Why did you use the number 4 rather than the FOR?
You know, I don't know. I think, you know, it's one of the people that worked for me was a young girl at the time, and she said, I said, I cannot believe that they don't have wigs for kids. And she wrote it out, and when she wrote the number 4 instead of FOR, and I went, how cute is that? You know?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You know, and because she has a young mind, a kid's mind. Mm-hmm. You know, she was like 14, or, you know, she was volunteering at the time, and she was working and doing some stuff for us, and I went, oh, my goodness. I said, that is just a great idea. So it just stuck.
Fantastic. Tell me about some of the kids that you're dealing with. I know that 18 is the top age. What's the youngest child you've worked with?
We see children from ages 3 through 18, and, you know, each one of them, honestly, is so precious and so individual. And but today, just today, I saw a little 8-year-old girl, and she drove down all the way. She's being treated at DeVos Hospital in Grand Rapids, and her family drove her down because there is no place for these children to go and get the support services that they need, to a wig and all of the products and everything to take care of, maintain their wig. So it, to them, it obviously is worth the trip down. And she was just a delight to work with today. And, you know, they have been through so much. They're prodded and poked and, you know, and being cared for by the, you know, medical profession. So when they come to me, that's not what they experience. When they come here, it's a very kid-friendly place, and we make it a wonderful, pleasant experience so that they want to come back. And she left, and she was all smiles, and so we already processed the order. We ordered her a custom wig that's just perfect for her. Now, she's 8 years old, but she's just tiny. She's just like a peanut. So, you know, we can custom order these wigs with less density, and that hair is always human, and the cap fits exactly perfect because they're custom-made. And so she picked out her own color, she picked out her own length, and her own style. Her mom and Miss Maggie worked together on that, and she was very happy. Oh. And we have some wigs in my kit that we try on for fitting, for her to get the feel of what it feels like to have a wig on. And so it's an education experience and a woman as well as not only providing a service.
Okay. Are the little tiny ones, I mean, 3 years old to have some sort of situation, you're right, they're being, blood is drawn every other day and they're being poked and prodded in so many ways. And you're there sort of making them feel glamorous, which is kind of a cool thing at three. Do you find that they, you said that they tend to want to pick out their own color and style and what have you. Do you find that the little ones are a little more difficult to work with, or do they seem to get it right away?
Well, you know, they're a little more of a challenge to win over, and there's a trust issue. So, and that's what I really focus on, and making them comfortable. So I had a little girl, she was 3 years old, and her daddy and mommy brought her here, and he was holding her. She wouldn't even let me come near her. And the only way she would let me try a wig on her, I promised to get her a blue wig, because she wanted one like Blue's Clues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and her daddy said, oh, honey, Miss Maggie can't do that. And I said, oh, yes, I can. Sure. So I got her a blue wig, and she came back to pick up her blue wig, and once I provided her with that, then she was willing to let me actually try, measure, and fit her to get her a real wig so she could wear it, you know. And this one, she just got to play in it, and dress up, and wear around the house, and get used to the idea of what a wig was.
Okay.
You know, because she's so little, they don't really get it. It's kind of like we play dress up, and I kind of teach them, but they're smart. And
oh,
it's
sure.
important. You know, people think, well, they're 3 years old, it's not important. Well, let me tell you, by the time they're four, it's really important, because they're starting preschool and they don't look like the other kids, and kids ask them why they have no hair. So it really is important at any age.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you're dealing with teenagers.
Oh, yes, we are. And, you know, and people think, you know, 90% of our kids are girls, but 10% of our kids are boys. I just went over to Beaumont Hospital about 2 weeks ago and tried a wig on this boy. He's 17, and he's 220 pounds. He's a big boy, and he had cancer and had surgery, and he was in ICU, and they let me come in and measure and see him to make sure the cap fit. And so they think, well, it's, you know, he's a man. What does it matter? He can just shave his head. But no, it matters to him. He is in a rock band. He doesn't want to be bald.
Okay.
And the reason I went to the hospital to see him to do that was because by the time I get him measured and get the wig ordered, by the time he's out and healthy enough to come and visit me, I'll have it here waiting for him.
Right. So, okay. Okay.
No.
How many children have been part of your program over the years?
We have provided over 500 wigs, but we have provided over 1,000 services to different children throughout the state of Michigan. Because, as I said, we don't give every child a wig. We have children with trichotillomania that have the obsessive compulsive disorder, and sometimes they just need support services, and we get them a piece instead of a full wig, and then, you know, they are in therapy and medication, and we do rather well, and then they don't need another. They don't need a wig. So, and we also help children, you know, burn survivors. As I said, we're registered with the Phoenix Burn Society and U of M. We help children who've been burned and unfortunately cannot grow hair back in that area. A lot of our kids, you know, with brain tumors, too, if they have radiation, their hair doesn't grow back. So they're not in our program for one wig.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids come to us not once. They come to us for years.
Mm-hmm.
With an adult, from the time their hair falls out till it grows back, you're looking at a year. For a child, it's a minimum of 3 to 5 years.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Is that due to the drug regimen or just the developing human body?
Well, I think it's a treatment program because, unfortunately, the good news is, you know, 75% of the children survive who are diagnosed with cancer today, and which is the good news. And I think that's because, you know, there's still the treatment plan is unknown for children. You know, even though they've come so far, there's, you know, they're always coming up with new and innovative and great technology today to help these children. That's why their survival rate is so great.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, by the time it's diagnosed in a child, it's metastasized 80% of the time. Because of that, it makes it a lot harder to fight.
Right, right. What hospitals are you working with?
We actually work, there's only seven hospitals throughout Michigan that service children, pediatric cancer, and we work with all of them. We work with, you know, the St. John, Beaumont Children's Hospital, Mott, U of M, Hurley and Flint, Carroll, all of them that service children. They all send their children to us to assist them. Because there is no place like this.
Right, right.
And there's not only any place, there's no place like this not only in Michigan, there's no place like this in the world.
Wow.
We get calls from Iraq, Romania, Germany, France, Italy, Alaska. We get calls from all over, people wanting to replicate our program. I always say this is not a local problem, this is a universal problem. Children with hair, you know, they lose their hair.
Right, right. And how do you refer them to anybody, or are you taking people from Germany?
We can't, and we can't even take people from out of state. You know,
okay.
I think charity starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal was to help our children of our communities and right here in Michigan. And if anybody, you know, and I have invited other people from out of state and other countries, if they want to come and shadow us and learn from us, that's great. But I can't dilute our own program to go out and try to help everyone because we have enough children right here. We have 500 newly diagnosed cases of children with cancer alone right here in Michigan every single year.
Oh, my gosh.
And it does not include our children. As I said to you, then our kids don't come to us once. They're in our program 3 to 5 years. So even though I get so many new ones this year, I still have all the ones from last year and the year before still in our program.
Right, right. Tell us about the process. So a child is referred to you from one of the seven hospitals, and it's due to the hair loss is due to a cancer treatment, which definitely means that it's the sort of thing you want to get involved with. You had mentioned earlier that there's a measuring process that's involved, and take us from there. Take us from the initial time that the child with parents walks through the door.
You know, when they contact us, and it is usually through a hospital, but not always, Lynn. Sometimes it's from a teacher. A teacher will call us, and they all have a child in their, you know, in their school. We also have dermatologists that call us. So we get them from churches. Churches will call us and tell us of a child in their parish that needs our assistance. So, you know, and uncles, aunts, from all over that know of children will call us. So. But our main source is from hospitals. But what we do is we make it real easy for them. You know, when they call us, we ask them if they have a computer to go online, fill out the application, and get a prescription or a letter from their doctor stating that they have a disorder causing the hair loss. And they can either get in that day or the next day they call. There's no waiting. We see them right away. And then when they walk through the door, and we qualify no one, we help everyone, and we turn no one away. So it's not based on income or any of that. You know, we service everybody. And so when they walk in the door, they are greeted warmly, and we have this beautiful wellness center built that was built for us by the Webbers and Mr. Van Alexander's did the furnishings. And so we have a beautiful facility now to see these children. So not only do we provide them with the wig services, but now we can also provide them with the support services that the families need.
Okay.
But when they walk in the door, they come in and then I meet them and they take a tour of the facility and make themselves at home and comfortable. We show them the DVD, a 6-minute DVD of some of our kids that they have a chance to meet. And they look at a lookbook and see some of the kids who have been through our system. So that they know they too can look like that if they like and they want to, and it is a choice. Not every child chooses. You know, once they're here, sometimes they have to come back because they're not really convinced. So they, you know, we have to let them tell us what their needs are and we fill them.
Sure. Okay.
But then I meet with them that day and I measure, I do the measuring and fitting. Sometimes it's necessary, like for our burn survivors or our kids with alopecia. Sometimes I have to do a plaster mold of their head. And there's a different type of cap construction that goes into that as opposed to the children who have cancer, where we want to, their hair grows back when they stop treatment, and they still use their wig until their hair gets long enough that I call it unveiling, that we can get rid of it, you know.
Right.
And then after we do the measuring and fitting, they look in a regular styling book. They don't look in a wig book because there are none. And they pick out a style that they like, and then they look at a color ring, and we pick out the color, and they bring me pictures if their hair is gone of what it looked like before. And if what length they want. If they say to me their hair was short, they always wanted long, well, we can give them long. We give them whatever they want, you know?
Okay. Do they generally go with the color that they were born with, or do they? Yes?
I would say, not our teenagers. Sometimes, you know, our teenagers, oh, I want some highlights in here. I want, you know, and we have several kids in rock bands, and I have one in a Christian rock band, one in a regular rock band. You know, they want big, wide panels of different colors.
Sure.
Whatever they want, we do,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so they usually want to look pretty much like they did because they don't want people pointing and staring them, you know. So, and, you know, Lynn, that's another thing that we do here. I go out to a different school every single week and educate the kids in the schools, in the community, and faculty about the program and what we do. And these little kids in the community, instead of making fun of these children, they embrace them and they become part of the solution instead of the problem.
Wow. Okay.
And it's just precious to see. And they'll do lemonade deals and donate their money. And a lot of our schools will raise enough money to sponsor their own child and pay for that child's wig.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the child has come in, and the wig is now fitted, and it's the color, length, et cetera, that the child is looking for. What is there any other follow-up, then, that you're doing with the wig and the family?
Well, that's when all the measuring in the beginning and the ordering, that then it's processed. The child does not leave with that wig that day because it's custom-made.
Okay.
But what I do have is I have a synthetic wig, or other human wigs that are called ready-made wigs, that I can fit them in something so they don't walk out bald until their custom wig comes in. Because I learned early on when I'm thinking that the kids should be really excited about they're coming to get a wig, but when they leave, they're kids. They think they're going to be leaving with it, you know?
Sure.
So I found out that I had to get some temporary ones in here for them that are less expensive because these wigs are so costly. So when they leave that day, I usually will put them into something temporary until their custom wig comes in. Then I call them when the custom wig comes in. They come in, and now before they see it, they've already picked the style. I have already put about 3 hours into washing it, cutting it, blow drying it, coloring it, getting it ready to them so that when they see it, it's like what they wanted. I always say when I get them, they look like roadkill. You know, cause you have to kind of make it look the way you want it to look,
right.
You know. And then I put it on them, and their little name is on the inside of it, so it's custom made to them. And then I cut it on their head. I finish cutting it. If it needs any tweaking or adjusting on their head, then
okay.
I finish it. So.
What's the waiting time? How long does it take from the measurement and all the decisions to the reality of actually being able to walk out with the wig and not a loaner, so to speak?
Well, you know, I don't loan them because once a child uses them, I don't take them back.
Okay.
I let them keep them as a backup because sometimes when they're washing their wig, then they can use the other one, you know, for like to wear until the wig dries or
mm-hmm.
if they're in
okay.
pants or sports and they don't want to get their wig all messed up, and they use that one. So I don't really give it to another child.
Okay.
But the timeline is anywhere from, it can be anywhere from 1 week to 4 weeks, you know, or even up to 12 weeks if it's a special cap for like a burn survivor or, you know, it just depends on what the needs are. But we put them in something, so they're not without it. But
right.
usually the average is anywhere from I would say 3 to 6 weeks is our average.
Okay. And you're absolutely right. That's an eternity for a child who's thinking, I'm getting the wig today and I have to wait 3 weeks. I have to wait a month. Yeah. That's going to be a very long time. Okay. And then so far as, let's say, somebody comes in and they want to have a particular style, and then when they see it, they are looking for something else. Are you adjusting that way, maybe cutting a little length off or something like that?
I sure do. Okay. I do whatever they want. They may think they want something. When they get here, then they go, you know what, I do want bangs. Then we cut bangs.
Okay.
Or I do want layers. Okay, then we put layers in.
Okay.
Or I do want it shorter. We cut it shorter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes. Oh, that's, well, that's not just a kid thing. That's, I do that.
That's right. We all do. Yeah. I'm in the business. That's what I do. I say in my real life, I own a salon, you know, that I work on clients every single, all the time, every single day. I work on kids 3 days a week and I see adult clients 3 days a week. So, I know we do change our mind, and that's okay. They can too.
Definitely. You are listening to Impact on WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves, and with us today is Maggie Varney, who is the CEO and founder of Wigs for Kids. What an exciting organization this is. It's the mission of Impact is to share messages and share the word about people and individuals, groups who are making a positive difference in the community. And Maggie, you're definitely right in there. You're definitely making a big positive difference in the community. Tell us about the hair. You mentioned earlier that these are all human hair wigs.
They are. And Len, thank you. They are. Wigs that we provide to children are human wigs. And people say to me, they're so expensive, because if you were to purchase a human wig, as most of us know, if you've ever had the opportunity to look at them, they can be quite costly. Anywhere from a ready-to-wear human wig, $600 up to, $3,000. So, but these wigs, we have them custom made, and they're all human, because all the hair that is used in these wigs are donated from the people who have donated their hair, and we use that hair, so that defrays the cost, and we get them made for $800 per wig.
Okay.
And the reason they have to be human for children is because, kids are more active, and they're a little bit rougher, and they're on their wig, and their wigs have to last longer. A synthetic wig, I've worked with adults for over 20 years, will last them through their whole treatment. But for a child, because their treatment term is longer, they need the human wig. And you know what? They're more comfortable. They don't itch the kids, because they feel very natural and they look natural.
Right, right. Well, yeah, this is Michigan. I mean, we have four seasons, so we have to be able to handle a wig when it's 95 degrees outside, which it's challenging with your own hair when it's that hot. But I can imagine that the kids have a lot to go through with regards to the mesh cap and just making everything feel good. So, yeah, top quality is definitely the name of the game.
That's the beauty of doing custom, is because I can put less hair in them. Anybody that knows about wigs knows that they always come with too much hair, and that's why we call it that they look wiggy. But with these children's wigs, I can order them with less density. I can order them, because they're 3 years old, I only want 70% density, because their hair should not be as thick as yours or mine, an adult.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So that's why they look so much more natural for the children.
Hmm, okay. And if someone wanted to donate hair, could you give us the rules for that?
Yes, they can visit our website at www.wigs4kids.org, and the information is right on there. And we ask that it be clean and secured in a ponytail or braid, 10 inches long. And if it's, 8 or 9 inches, we'll still take it. We use it for boys' hair. We prefer 10 because most of our kids are girls. It cannot be chemically treated. No perms, colors, or relaxers on it, because it's used for children.
Mm-hmm.
We want it to hold up, because these wigs are so expensive and labor-intensive. We want it to hold up and look well and natural for the children.
Okay.
So, and then they can either mail it to us. We're located in St. Clair Shores, and I can give you that address. It's 30126 Harper in St. Clair Shores, Michigan, 48082. Or they can drop it off. I prefer that they come by the Wellness Center, Wicks for Kids Wellness Center, and visit. We are open 6 days a week. We're open Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from 9 to 4, and Wednesday and Thursday from 9 to 8. So we're here quite a bit, and please feel free to come by any time and see what we're doing over here and the difference we're making in the lives of these children.
Okay. We're going to take a little break and hear some more of this. Take a look at the CD I found. It's called La Bella Stella, and it's Celebrate Earth Music series on the CD, and we're going to hear a little bit of music right now. This is called Gravity. Okay, and that was Gravity by Audra Rowe. And Maggie, one of the things I found absolutely entertaining and or amusing was checking out the webpage. And right before the break, we were talking about the hair and how the hair comes to you. The Santa shavings or the Santa cuttings. So apparently at the very end of the year, you're receiving a lot of donations from Santa Clauses.
That was a real treat to have Santa come here and get his hair cut. You know, he wants to support Wicks for Kids, too.
Mm-hmm.
We were very pleased they stopped in to help us.
And I saw the, for the listeners, there are a number of pictures out on the webpage. And that web again is wigs4kids.org. And take a look around. It's a very well-assembled webpage. Okay, and I was also looking at donations, and you're taking all sorts of donations. Tell us about not just the money, but hosting a fundraiser, adopting a kid, some of the various ways people can help.
Well, thank you, and yes, we are fully funded through the kindness and generosity of the community. So that is, and we go out and we raise funds to help continue the mission of the organization, which is to provide the wigs and services for the children of Michigan. And we are a local nonprofit 501c3, so that allows us to go out and have fundraisers. We currently have one coming up with a world-renowned local artist, Dominic Pangborn, who is a dear friend and supporter of Wigs for Kids as well. He's a famous artist, and he did our ties and scarves. So if you visit our website, you will see we do have them available. And he's going to be doing a book signing and an art show coming up February 1st at the War Memorial. So that is one event that we have coming up. But if you visit our website, you'll see we do something about every month. We have something going on. Last year, we saw three times the children as in any previous years. And we used to just do an annual gala. But when you see that many children, you got to, produce the income. So that helps you generate income.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, the wonderful, media has helped us. We were in the media over 100 times this year. And that helps us get the word out to reach more children, but also to get more supporters and great volunteers. So you can donate your time, your talent, or your treasure. That's where we see the three keys.
Okay.
Come in and help.
Okay. Tell us about some of the time donations people can make. What sort of help do you need that way?
Well, we have volunteers in here every single day. We usually have about 4 a day. We ask that our volunteers, if possible, they can go online. We can fill out a volunteer application and send it or mail it in. And then we call them and we put them on the schedule and we put them in for a 4-hour block, because this way they're here long enough to actually complete a project. And we always have a lot of different projects going on. It can be anywhere from calling to check on our children. And then we had a brownie troop that came in here and made cards for all of our kids. So when they're in the hospital or home recovering, we send them cards. So it could be working at an event, or it could be putting up our Christmas tree at holiday time.
Okay.
So, there's always a number of things that we can always use another pair of hands.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, if you're breathing, I can find a job for you.
It's just like home. There's always something to do.
Isn't that the truth? Yes.
Okay.
And you know what? Anybody that knows about nonprofits understand the importance of volunteers. They're the backbone of your organization.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's through their kindness, and that they come in and they donate their services a lot of times, whether it's accounting or, whatever it may be, performing at one of our events. What photographer, taking pictures of our kids. We're always looking for support.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us about the Adopt a Kid program.
I devised that because I had to try to figure out a way since we are solely funded through the kindness and generosity of people, I had to figure out a way that we could raise money and still get the message out there and get people more involved so that they would feel a part of serving our children. And the great thing about it is it's $800, and a lot of our schools, churches, clubs, organizations, businesses, and individuals adopt our children. And when you adopt a child, that means you sponsor their wig. You get a before and after picture of the child. You get a certificate of adoption, and you get a handwritten letter from the child. So that child that received the wig knows who sponsored their wig. And the sponsor knows that their monies went to a real child to provide a wig for a real child in our community. So, and that's a great feeling to know in today's world, how the money is being used and that it's going directly to what it's supposed to go to.
Definitely. Yeah. Is there interaction between the adopting individual or group along with the child?
We don't allow any direct connection except at our annual gala. We have an annual gala every year, and it's this year it's going to be in September, September 14th, and it's at the Barrister Gardens. And we have about 800 people there that show up every single year. We sell out. And if the child wishes to comes to the event and wishes to know who sponsored them, and the sponsor would like to meet the child, we can arrange that there. Otherwise, there's no direct contact. The sponsor never knows the child's last name or where they live or any information about them.
Okay.
And vice versa. They just know that, you know, say it was Art Van Foundation that sponsored their wig, they just know that. They don't know any particulars of addresses and, you know, names.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
The safety of everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know? And the kids, a lot of the kids want to know, and they'll come up at the gala. Our gala is very kid friendly. We have over 200 kids there, and they'll ask, and I always ask the sponsors, and I've never had one say no,
mm-hmm.
and they're thrilled. And even if they don't speak to them, they'll ask me, which child did we sponsor? Or they'll know because they have the picture, and the child. They'll see the child, and it just makes their heart smile to know that, you know, they know that they made a difference in this child's life.
Right, right. The sponsorship that comes from various groups and things, do you find that it's probably primarily adult just based on the funding? $800 is not nothing. That's quite a significant sum. But do you find that you have younger groups, maybe school groups or church youth groups, possibly the Scouts? Do you find that you have younger groups who are also interested in sponsoring a wig for a child since they're sort of in the same age range?
You just nailed it. That was it. That's exactly correct. I'll bet you 50% of our sponsors are from children. And when I say from children, like we have a cheerleading group that's going to be dropping off a check for $4,500 at Cousin Ova High School. They had a competition, and they raised this money, and they're adopting. Think of how many kids. Divide 4,500 by 8.
Right, right.
You know, that's how many children their school is adopting. So I am telling you that 50% of the income, you know, is from kids getting involved and helping and making a difference. I always say this program is about kids helping kids.
Yes, yeah.
Our volunteers that come in every day, I would say out of the four that we get a day, 2 to 4 we get a day, 50% of those are kids. They're high school kids who go out in the community, hear about it, have been to their school, or junior, you know, middle school, or even elementary school, and they'll come in and they'll say, "What, you know, we want to volunteer." So we have, if it's an elementary school, we have the parent come with the child,
mm-hmm.
and they'll come in together, and we'll give them a project that they can work on.
Wow.
Stuffing envelopes or, you know, wrapping stuff or whatever for at Christmas time, putting bows on presents for the kids. There's always something to do.
Yeah, that it's in one way it surprises me a little bit, just based on the amount of money we're talking about, the time commitments with everything else that kids are doing. Everybody's busy, but this is something that they're obviously making time for, and in many ways, both the volunteer time is just time, quote unquote, but when they're doing fundraisers and coming up with thousands of dollars, which is absolutely amazing, they've put a whole lot of thought into it. They've put a lot of time into it. They've put a lot of work into it.
Absolutely. And you would be amazed. I have a young girl who was one of our ambassadors who unfortunately had her leg amputated in June. And I had provided her with a wig. And now, here she is. She sends me a picture. This is like August, and she's sitting in her garage, and they're doing a garage sale, and she set up a lemonade stand to sell lemonade so that she could help raise money so that she could sponsor another child.
Wow. I believe that. I believe
that's a true story.
Yeah, I believe that picture's on the website.
Yeah.
I did see that one. Let's see, we're getting short on time, of course. So let's get the contact information out there again. That's WIGS, WIGS, 4, kids.org. and lots of information out there. And almost every page has the telephone number, too, if you'd like more information. And that's 586-772-6656. And do you have... You mentioned that you had a donor for your furnishings. Are you looking for in-kind donations of, I'm not sure what, office supplies or anything like that, that you collect periodically?
You know what? We are always appreciative of everything we receive. If we don't need it within our system to use, then we utilize it at our auction that we do. We make baskets with, and we have table raffles at our annual gala. So everything that's donated to us, either we personally use within our system or we use it to help raise funds to continue the mission. So we appreciate any gift of any kind, whether it's an in-kind or goods or services. We both are, greatly appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And a couple upcoming events definitely want to talk about. Now, tonight is the Women in Leadership Conference at the Henry Ford. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, I'm going to that. I believe it's Thursday is whenever I'm going to be going to it.
Right.
We're so fortunate that they are gracious enough to invite us every single year. We get to set up a table there and get the word out into the community about our program. And they have just a great program that they run there. And good information. I would highly recommend it for anybody who has not attended to certainly look into it. But we are very fortunate that we happen to be one of the charities that they support, and we thank them for that.
Great. I'm sorry. I think I said tonight. You're right. It is Thursday, the 26th. And then next Wednesday, February 1st? I'm not looking at a calendar.
February 1st.
Okay.
February 1st.
Okay.
Dominique Hangborn. We are excited about that at the Grosse Pointe War Memorial. It's going to be, he just came out with a new book, so he's going to do a book signing. And your ticket is $25, and it includes a $15 book. And then the rest of the proceeds will go to Wigs for Kids.
Okay.
And there's a movie about his life, and we're going to have a wine and cheese reception. And Beaumont was gracious enough to sponsor that for us. And so we're looking forward to that upcoming event as well.
Okay. You mentioned earlier today that he was the designer for the scarf and the tie, which there are photos online, too, that you can check that. Tell us a little bit about him, if you know a little bit about his history.
I met him through a dear friend who was the co-founder of Focus Hope, Eleanor Jo Sullivan. I attended her events. And she has been a mentor and friend of mine for years. Unfortunately, we lost her about 6 months ago. And that's how I met Dominic. And he just has the heart of an angel. He's very kind, gentle, and very generous, and an extremely brilliant artist. And so I saw his work, and so I asked if I could come down and visit his studio. Went in and talked to him about Wigs for Kids, and he immediately said yes, and he has been supportive of us ever since. So I'm so glad that we are partnering on this event with Beaumont, and I'm hoping that, a lot of people will come out and support it, because if you come and see his art, he's wonderful. He's very talented and a gift to, certainly, to the Detroit area in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay, and then coming up on February 18th, which I believe is a Saturday, Rock the Runway Appreciation Party and Concert at the Emerald Theater in Mount Clemens.
Well, you know what the Rock the Runway did for us? They came to us and they did this huge event in Mount Clemens, and our kids got to be the opener and they got to participate, which was really fun. Of course, then they had to leave because it's an adult event, and it was so much fun. They had a blast, and they are so supportive. And now they're doing a wrap-up party. They decided to do a wrap-up party to thank everybody, and now Wigs for Kids get to participate in that as well. So we're excited, and we sure appreciate that. This is a great example of what I'm telling you about the array of support that we get, all the way from little children to adults, and every walk of life and background and social level, and educational level, you can imagine that reach out and help us. And the firefighters just did fill the boot, and they bartended, and they just adopted their own child. So, I mean, it's great. The community has just wrapped their heart around our program and embraced us, and we are so very grateful. But, you know, Lynn, thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about it.
Oh, gosh. That's the whole purpose of Impact, is to try to get the word out there. And there are so many wonderful organizations and so many phenomenal people. You listen to the news and you're hearing all these horrible things, and there's way more good out there than bad. And
I just want to
get that word out there. And you're definitely one of the good guys, Maggie. So thanks for everything you're doing. And when we spoke earlier, the thing that is so striking is nobody deserves cancer, and nobody deserves these horrible illnesses. But it seems like it's so much worse when you talk about a child who's just so absolutely innocent, and all of a sudden there's this serious problem, life-threatening problem. Okay.
Yes, and it's amazing. I say they are my heroes. I have worked with children for about 7 years at the time, and people kept saying to me, "Have you ever experienced cancer?" And I had been blessed. Fortunately, I had never experienced it, and I did end up last year becoming a patient myself. And the day that I got my diagnosis, I was pulling into the driveway here. And I had two kids inside waiting for me, and the phone rang, and it was my doctor, and they gave me, you know, the results, and said, and I hung up the phone, and I remember feeling that feeling of nauseousness, like I was in a tunnel, you know, when you're hit with something like that.
Sure.
And then I said to myself, well, wait a minute, suck it up and get it together, kid. You got two kids in there. If they can do it, you sure can do it. And they're like my heroes, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you would be amazed what these children go through and what they endure. And I just am blessed every day that I have the honor and privilege of serving them.
Wow. Okay. And then the last item in February was February 28-29, Regency Beauty Institute. And this is a presentation that you're making?
You know, that's another thing. I told you I was out in the community every week at different local high schools and elementary schools talking. But I also go and speak with our future professionals. I go to all the beauty schools throughout our industry and salons to let them know about our program. Because when they get a child in their chair, you know, how do they handle this child who pulls their hair out? How do they treat this child? And when they have a child with alopecia, do they know how to diagnose that and to identify that? And so I go out and teach them about the different causes of hair loss and how we in our industry can make a difference. And I'm so proud of our industry, because if you did look at our website, you will see the list of salons and cosmetology schools that support us and collect hair and send it to us. And we work directly with the Leukemia Foundation, Michigan Leukemia Foundation. They send us all the hair that they get sent.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of worker bees out in our community helping us to do what we do. Mm-hmm. One person doesn't do this alone. It takes all of us.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Okay, and let's see. So your next big event is on February 1st. With Pangborn, and again, take a look online, and you're able to see a little bit about him, and you're able to see a little bit about the tie and the scarf that he designed for Wigs for Kids, and you have to grin when you see Santa with his white tail in his hand. That's been disengaged from the rest of his hair. So is that kind of an annual event? That Santa's come in after the Christmas season and donate?
Actually, that was our first visit.
Really?
He comes to see our kids at the holiday party.
Sure.
But he had not come in here to, you know, there's a lot of different salons he probably likes to go to and visit. And so it was just he read about Wigs for Kids, and so he decided to come and help us out, which we sure appreciate.
Oh, that's fun. That was of all the pictures, I absolutely love the before and after pictures of the kids. I was looking at those, and you can just see the difference as they're posing for the camera. I don't know if it's a little more confidence, or definitely they felt a little bit happier. You could see that in their faces.
Absolutely. You know, another event that we have coming up is called, it's like a salute to the country stars.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be showcasing that on Friday the 24th at Lakeland Manor in St. Clair Shores. And so it's a dinner and a show.
Okay.
So any of our fans out there that might be interested in country music, you know, we have a nice selection. The Blues Brothers are going to be there too.
Okay.
So we have a nice group, so please visit our website and check that out. And that's local, and that's, again, that is a dinner show. So
okay.
This is the first time we're doing a dinner show, so I'm kind of excited, trying something new.
Absolutely.
We're gonna do, in the spring, we're going to do a Coney and karaoke, you know. So we try to make it fun so that our families
mm-hmm.
and the children can attend as well,
mm-hmm.
and they can come out and participate, and the community too.
Wow. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I have to ask, through the years, has there been one child or one story that has sort of stood out from the others?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, every child leaves an imprint on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the hardest part about this job is you lose them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them you lose. And you may not be here physically, but their spirit is always with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that to be the most challenging part of this job. And I could never pick one child out. I would have to say, if I was going to pick one, I would have to say my first one.
Okay.
You know, because she was my first.
Right.
She was the one who came to the class. She was 16 at the time. And right now, she's still battling. And I just went and saw her in the hospital 2 weeks ago. And she's still fighting.
Mm-hmm.
She's a fighter.
How old is she now?
I'm so proud that she's part of this, that she was my inspiration that started this program. Mm-hmm. So I would have to see her.
Okay.
Her name is Emily.
And how old is Emily now?
Emily is 24.
Wow. So it's been a very long battle. And I know it's a very emotional subject. But Maggie, thank you so much for sharing. We'll get the information out there one more time. And that's Wigs for Kids. It's wigs4kids.org. And beautiful, beautiful web page that you have out there. And then the telephone number is 586-772-6656. Maggie, thank you so much. We're going to end the show today with a little bit more of our kid-friendly music, and we're going to be hearing Nocturnal. And while Nocturnal plays out, I will remind you that you've been listening to Impact, and this is a show that brings you individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. And our special, special guest today was CEO and founder Maggie Varney of Wigs for Kids, and what an incredible organization that has been in the past and will be in the future. And again, if there's anything you'd like to do to help out Wigs for Kids, it's Wigs for Kids, wigs4kids.org, and the phone number, should you want to give them a call, is 586-772-6656. This is Lynn, your host of Impact, and we'll see you next month on the fourth Tuesday of the month from 1 until 2. You are listening to WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves.
Oh yeah, ladybugs, leaf cutter ants, katydids, beetles that make you flip your lids. Fragrant plants are smelled unseen, snakes have heat senses so keen, they don't need sight, night makes them smile, that's the nocturnal lifestyle. Nocturnal, nocturnal, late at night, what a sight, when there's no kind of light. Nocturnal, hummingbirds, toucans, oh yeah, parrots and macaws, oh yeah. The giant anaconda squeezes you, the boa constrictor squeezes too. Ooh.
Sometimes at night when I look up in the sky, funny old man winking his eye. Listen real close, you can hear a little tune. Ooh, sha la la la, the man in the moon. Every now and then when the moon's just right, big and round and shining so bright, look real close, you can see his face, smiling with the stars in outer space. Ooh, sha la la la, the man in the moon. Man in the moon, doing the thing he loves. Man in the moon, sending his light from above.
Performing arts are an important facet of life. There is no substitute for the relationship between audience and performer. Your contributions to the Henry Ford Community College Theater Program enable students and faculty to continue promoting HFCC's artistic standards. By becoming a member of the Friends of HFCC Theater, you are allowing the theater program to prosper through establishing a scholarship fund, improving costume and scene shop facilities, and enabling the continuation of musical theater productions. For more information on becoming a friend of HFCC Theater, call 313-845-6478.